Open your Bibles with me to Genesis 9. We're going to be teaching on the subject of spiritual authority. That's my assignment I received from Apostle Thompson, because there's something particular that you need to see. Because I'm going to deal with three areas of rebellion, three critical areas of rebellion. First area we're going to deal with is when Noah's son got out of line with him, Ham. I'm trying to wait till everybody settles down a little bit, because it's a very important subject, and I don't want you to miss anything. Ham, in the ninth chapter of Genesis, three sons. Noah, three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham was the younger of the three sons. But I want you to see something here. Sometimes God permits certain things to transpire when you're under spiritual leadership for a particular reason. Sometimes certain things that transpire bring out truth, bring out who you are, that cannot be brought out any other way, to an apostle, to a man of God, to a woman of God. And God will cause them to jerk slack out of you sometimes to see what's in you. Because I don't believe a lot of time we always understand what's in us when it comes to submitting and when it comes to being a rebellious person. Most people will say, oh, I'm not rebellious. Matter of fact, you it's hard for a parent to really want to come to truth and say that their children are rebellious. Oh, my child, she's just a bad child. Oh, he's just bad. Or he just got a hard head. But sometimes you got to call the pot and the kettle black. You got to speak the truth. Because if rebellion is not corrected, it can lead to destruction and sometimes death. And that's what we're trying to prevent, not just natural death, but spiritual disconnection. A lot of people in the body of Christ are in spiritual disconnection because they didn't deal with the little aspect. You ever heard the term nip it in the bud? You catch things when it's small, and then you ain't got to deal with it. When it becomes great, the mo folks say it's a mountain and a molehill, a molehill. But you want to get it while it's a molehill before it becomes a mountain. Rebellion I'm talking about. So I want you to begin to identify in your personal life some aspects. And there's going to be a test right here, an acid test for you, because you can see yourself in some of these things, all right? Genesis 9, everybody in Genesis 9, verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. Everybody see uncovered within his tent. Now, you can underline that, because that's a very crucial point there. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. And Shem and Japheth took his garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. 24 verse. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant, and God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant. Then he goes on to tell that how long Noah lived after the flood. But I got some points we need to cover along this line, because a lot of things transpired. Some of you can't see, but we're going to uncover it, and we're going to dig it up so you can see. So the first point we want to deal with is that when the scriptures talk about uncovered, Noah was uncovered, and he was naked in his tent. You can almost look at that as shortcomings, weaknesses, fears, and all of these things can be a type of nakedness, but we're dealing with an authority here. And one thing about a person that's rebellious is that he tried to find weakness in authority. And he's searching and he's looking, and he when he make a mistake, they mark that mistake. And so what it does, it throw off all restraint on you. When you find a weakened spiritual leader, you throw all restraint. Now look at them. Look at them. And they're supposed to be leading me. So we're going to watch how dangerous it is. It's a dangerous thing. Like my mama used to say. My mama said, I'm going to put you in the hand of the Lord. It's a dangerous thing to be found in the hand of the Lord. Why? Because when you get in God's hands sometimes judgment comes. And the church don't like that word judgment. Because judgment don't feel too good. Most people don't like to be corrected. You tell within your heart when you're corrected. But do you know correction is supposed to bring out good in you? Correction is never designed to destroy you, but to build you up. The Bible talks about that. Hebrews talk about that, how God corrected those he loved. So if you find out you're not getting corrected, you might not be loved to get to another degree, another level. That's why apostles are so bold. That's why he don't mind jerking the slack out of you. That's why he'll correct you in a New York second. Why? Because he want to bring us up to the next level. But how you handle that correction, and you see, when I say handle it, I'm talking about what goes on in his heart here. You see, we can't see that. You can fake that. You can fake the outside. But we can't see what's happening on the inside. And that's what we're going to try and deal with. God deal with the inside. So let's deal with Ham a little bit. Now Ham had some experience with Noah, his father. Yeah, probably been corrected a few times and didn't like it. Sometimes you correct children and they don't like to be corrected. And so now they're looking for flaws in you. You're not perfect. And Noah probably wanted him to walk a straight line. And Ham probably didn't want to walk a straight line. Ham probably wanted to some degree do his own little thing. See, the Bible can't talk about everything. But Ham had something in him that God exposed. And sometimes God will permit things to happen to expose something else. Now, getting drunk, that was between Noah and God. It wasn't never Ham's job to make a correction to his father. Correction always comes from the top. God is the one that corrects his authority. When you find people getting to a place where they're trying to correct the spiritual leader, they might be in judgment of God. Not might, but they are in judgment of God. Now, two sins happened here to Ham. Two things went wrong here. First of all, the sin of rebellion, and I'm going to define that in a little bit. The sin of rebellion took place, but also another sin, the sin of reviling. Ham had a critical spirit. Reviling means it was a criticism, criticize. He probably had a habit of criticizing his father. Oh, there you go again. Oh, here he come again. And so if you find yourself with a critical spirit, you might want to check yourself out a little bit. Always criticizing a decision your spiritual leader make. Always trying to judge it. Why you have to do it like that? Always trying to judge and criticize, and even if it's to yourself. It's a dangerous thing. So sometimes God got to put a little heart meter on us. You know, everything look good. Everything look good from the outside. But when God put that heart monitor on you, you know when the doctor trying to check your heart, see if everything in rhythm? God got a heart monitor to do. When you put that heart monitor on you, and then he won't see just how you react to different situations, That'll tell you how your hallelujah really coming out to God. And how your praise the Lord really coming back, going to God. Might be coming right back. Might be going up and coming right back. Because you got some little issues in your heart. You never did, never did get right. And when people corrected, and when people in rebellion, they don't like to come back and repent. It's hard for them to come back and repent and say, I missed it. Because you got some other elements coming to play here. You think you're right. And then you got pride. Scripture says, pride coming right before the fall. Pride is a killer. Pride and rebellion runs hand in hand. They're partners together. They're partners, I tell you. So if you got any little inkling that I ain't got everything right in my heart concerning my spiritual leader, just make a little slight adjustment. Yeah. And nobody never know. Nobody, God ain't going to tell. Because sometimes you don't feel right about everything. But that's not none of your business. And you're going to show you another character. Miriam tried to get into God's business through Moses. That was none of her business. Who Moses married? Sometimes people get into God's business, but they think they're messing with people. You're messing with God when you're messing with spiritual leaders. They're God's representatives. Okay, now let look at this next point here. He went and told his brethren. Now, the first thing rebellious people do, see, birds of a feather, they flock together. When rebellious people leave a church, they all congregate together. You're going to find them together. I'm telling you the truth. They find a way to just get together because that's a little, they got their own flock there. Church of the rebellious ones. And what happened is they're so comfortable together because they can share all their dislikes. They can share all their disagreements. And they can share all their little stories about how they got hurt or how they got offended, but they never tell you they were wrong. They got their little stories to tell. Because you always got a reason. When a person rebel or get away out of God's plan, Satan give them a reason. You see it? And that reason becomes a stronghold. And when that stronghold rises up, it builds an edifice around you, and it traps you. You're stuck with that reason why I left the church. They're stuck with that reason why I'm upset with my spiritual leader. And he can't get free. You get in bondage, and Satan makes sure they stay in bondage, and it's hard for a rebellious person to get free. Because to get free, they got to die. And most people don't want to die spiritually. Because that means I got to stand before the man or woman of God and say, I missed it, I'm sorry, can you forgive me? And they can't do it. They'd rather die in their sins. Matter of fact, most of them die in their sins. Because they hide that sin. That sin is like a cancer. And it hides itself, and they hide it, and then they don't allow themselves to see the truth. They can't see themselves. Because they're hiding behind a lie. They're hiding behind deception. Rebellion is a dangerous thing. You see, that's why when you see it in your children, you got to deal with it. Don't let them go. I remember my mother-in-law years ago. My oldest son, he just got to the age where he can hold on the coffee table and walk around the coffee table. Anybody remember the children like that? And so we had to keep a little whatnot on the coffee table. And he grabbing the little things, you know. And my mother-in-law was sitting in my dining room. She was able to look into my living room. And boy, he picked it up. We'd take it out of the end and put it out. It was cute for us, you know. Oh, how nice. 6 months old and doing this kind of stuff. But she said, slap that little boy hand. I said, what's the matter with her? Tell me to slap my little 6-month-year-old boy on the hand. I said, no, make him understand. Tell him no is no. Tell him he can't do that. Let him know you can't do that. Well, I was upset with her for a while. After she started trying to run my house. But what she was doing, she allowed me to teach him the first rule of obedience, correction. It didn't kill him, but it hurt me more than it hurt him. I said, put that down, and I slapped his little hand, and boy, he looked up all sad and started crying. Hurt my heart. But you know, you ever seen children go in stores and they're pulling stuff off the shelf and their parents screaming and hollering and they want to whip them and tear them behind in the store and embarrass your parents and everything? That's because they never corrected them when they were 6 months old. My children, I'm not bragging on them, but we never had to correct them in the store. We said, no, leave that alone. And they understood no. Children understand. You think they don't understand. We don't want them to understand for some reason. When he got around the stove, and he went to get around the stove, I said, it's hot. You know what I did? I took his hand, let him feel the heat. It's hot. And then he said, hot, hot. They learn the word hot. They'll know. So sometimes correction comes in different ways, but people don't like the way it feels. So they try to avoid correction. But correction is good for you. My goodness, when the apostle come and correct, I remember apostle was teaching one time, and a pastor came in, and he was late. And don't come in apostle class late. Boy, he walk in the class, and the apostle, he didn't think apostle. Apostle say, you're late. Sit down. Boy, look, I jerked some slack out of him. And then after class, he came to me, he said, ain't nobody never did that to me like that. He was crying. He had tears. A pastor over church had tears. Now he was crying. Nobody ever did me like that. Did that to me like that. He said, but I needed that. He said, he needed somebody over him. See, pastors need pastors too. He needs somebody over him to correct him, jerk the slack out of him. Then after school was over, he said, it changed my life. He testified. It changed my life. Sometimes you're scared. We're afraid to correct people. But sometimes that's the very thing they need. A little correction goes a long ways. Might have put years on his life. You don't know what people are dealing with in their personal life. And sometimes just a little correction on one end will straighten out everything. You don't know how correction, what they told me? I took geometry, and the only thing I learned was the short distance between there and 2 points was a straight line. Everything else, I forgot it. But what happened is, if you get off one degree and don't make correction, you're going to end up way over yonder. But if you make a little slight correction, get back on course. And sometimes that what men of God does, that what apostles does, that what spiritual leader does. And you got to be bold enough to not be ashamed and not afraid of their faces where they can jerk the slack out and put them back in line. Might win some, might lose some. If they're heart right, they'll be glad and thank God for it. But I'm telling you, it's important. So now, Shem and Japheth, he go tell his two brothers, and now Shem and Japheth, dare not even look at their father's nakedness. Matter of fact, they covered their father's nakedness. So how you cover your spiritual leader's nakedness? Keep your mouth shut. In other words, keep your mouth shut. It's none of your business. And we're not talking about condoning mistakes, but we talking about just keep your mouth shut. I remember when a great man of God fell, apostle years ago, when everybody, it was all on television, church leaders were slamming and banging him, you know. He said, he came before church, y'all keep your mouth off of it. What are you doing? He was covering God's servant. You see? Keep your mouth off it. So Word of Life never put him out on it. The whole church will put into correction. You see it? Now, so they walked backwards, the scripture said, and they didn't even let their faces see it. They didn't even want to see their father's nakedness. I don't want to see my father's nakedness. I don't. Matter of fact, my father have no, I'm talking about my apostle. My apostle have no weaknesses. My apostle have no shortcomings. My apostle have no imperfection. See, what are you doing? I'm covering him. You see, and then he always my man of God. And he, whatever you say, just like God. You know, some people are afraid to say that. Some people are afraid to speak. You say, well, you think he's God? He's just like God. See, what are you saying? Some people can't handle that. Moses had a problem. Some say he had speech impediment. So Aaron, he said, Aaron going to be your mouth. And then God made a statement. He said, and Aaron, you're going to be as God unto Aaron, unto the people. God said that himself. Moses was going to be as God, a representative, he's saying. He's saying he was God. He said, as God. In other words, whatever come out of Moses' mouth, it's coming out of God's mouth. Whatever come out of Apostle Thompson's mouth, to me, see, everybody don't see that like that, though. I believe the prophet. So sure your prophet. It's coming out of God's mouth. Or you better believe your apostle. Or you better believe your spiritual leader. Or your pastor. Well, better believe him. If you can't believe him, you need to find a pastor you can believe. That's the whole truth. Now, so they're going backward. They didn't even look at it, all right? So now, let's deal with Noah a little bit now. Noah, the scripture says, when he awoke from his wine, he understood what his younger son had done. And I got to thinking about this. I said, how did he understand what his younger son had done? Now, the most sensible thing to me is that if you got good sense, you gonna be a telltale. I'm a telltale. If I see you doing something wrong, my apostle gonna know about it. So what I'm saying is, if you wanna do something wrong, don't do it in front of me, because he sure gonna know about it. And what I'm saying is that Shem or Japhet, either they told Noah when he woke up what happened, which was the proper thing to do. How can you see something and don't say it? We had a man here on the job. He got hired on the job. And he was coming out of the restroom, and he made some remarks that went straight to my heart, because it had something to do with apostle as being a boss, you know. And when I heard it, I said, oh, man, why you have to say that in front of me? I said, oh, man, I couldn't shake it, because I'm not going to be more loyal to him than I am to my apostle. I couldn't shake it. I tried to shake it because I didn't want to hurt nobody. So I end up telling my boss, and he related to apostle, and the man got fired. But you know, my flesh wanted to kind of, oh, man, you got the man fired. And it bothered me for a little while, about 30 minutes. I shook it off because I understand how this thing goes. It's going to bother your flesh for a little while. Yeah, it's going to bother your flesh. But you can't sit against my apostle and I don't say nothing. Especially if you work in here. My goodness, you're supposed to have 100% loyalty here. Your tongue's supposed to have 100% loyalty. Your mind's supposed to have 100% loyalty. Anything short of that, you're in error. You're in error. Did I feel bad? Yeah, for a little while, about 30 minutes. And then I jumped back into reality. See, my flesh tried to make me feel like I did something wrong, but I knew I did something right. Might not feel right, because you have feelings, the old man got a family. And all. No, but this is a spiritual thing we're dealing with. Are you with me? So, Shem and Japhet, either they told Noah, or he had a word of knowledge. Because after he woke up from his wine, the scripture said he prophesied. Well, if a man, see, so God didn't charge Noah, because Noah couldn't prophesy to God if he was in sin. Spirit of God can't come upon you in sin. See, God dealt with that. And when he dealt with it, the Bible ain't got to say it. That was between him and God. So we leave that kind of stuff alone. I didn't even try to dig this stuff up about Noah and repenting in the wine. Where did Noah repent at? Where he got drunk. You know that was sin. I ain't deal with that. Why? It's none of my business. Same thing with you. Same thing with your spiritual leader. None of your business. God going to get it straight with them. You see? And God is so good. God a hide. My goodness, God is good. All right? Now let's go to the next point. So sometimes God permits things to happen to see what's in our heart. This test with Ham and Noah, this test revealed Ham's rebellious heart. It might not have come out, you see, because you can hide rebellion for a little while. You know that? They got people in the church, they're hiding it. You know how they hide it? They hide it with words. I'm with you, Pastor. Hey, I'm with you. You can hide it with words. It so look like I'm with you. For a long time, I thought obedience and submission were the same thing. I thought it was synonymous. I thought they were one and the same. But they're different. Obedience is your action. You see it? If I were to tell somebody, say, hey, look, I need you to go over there and get on number one camera over there. You know, get out of class and go on number one camera, work that camera for a little bit. All right? Now, getting up, going to the camera, it looks good. But I don't know what they're saying in their heart, why they're going. Who do you think he is? I'm trying to sit in class. Like, why didn't get them to go work the camera? They work here. They on staff. You see, you don't know what's in people's heart. And so it looks good. But submission is an attitude of the heart. That's what God looks at. God don't look at those actions. Because action can be kind of counterfeit. You see it? Just like people make $20 bills. It's kind of hard to distinguish a $20 bill if you don't know what a real $20 bill look like. You see? So it can be counterfeited. And sometimes people counterfeit in their submission. I mean, their obedience. And sometimes you think they're with the ministry. Sometimes you think they're with the church. I'm with you. I'm with the pastor. I'm with you. And then when something happened, they go on. Where they went? What happened? Where are they? All that I'm with you. What happened? See that heart thing. Somewhere down the line, you never made that little spiritual adjustment, and you never died. Never died to your way, your will. You see, never got a revelation of obedience and submission. Never got a revelation of serving my pastor. Never got a revelation of what the word has to say about my obedience. Never got a revelation of authority. Never really understood what authority is. You see? Well, while I'm here, let me give you three definitions. I'm going to give you one on rebellion so you can kind of understand just what it is. And do I fall in any of these categories? And you know one good thing about it? If you got a little spot of rebellion that you're trying to get rid of, nobody know, you know, you ain't got to say nothing. Just make the correction. And God will take care of it for you. You see, because if you feel any kind of resistance in your heart, the apostle say, look, we're going to start having church at 6. And if you got people like that got any kind of little, 6, that's my time when I relax. Oh, Jesus. That's rebellion. You just ain't dealt with it yet. You just ain't know it was there. Know what it is? That's anti. I want to do my own will. I don't want to come ahead at 6. He could have picked another day. He could pick another hour. We could do it right after. Why we can't just extend the service another hour? We got to come back out here. You see, that's rebellion. People don't understand that. And those little things need adjustment. But full submission is whatever you say, Apostle. Whatever you say, Pastor. I'm with you. Your vision is my vision. Yeah, inconvenience. My inconvenience for a little while, but I'm going to get used to it. Because I believe this is the plan and will of God. You got to shift. When you do it, might the little thought might come to all of us, but you shift. Say, oh, no, Satan, I ain't going to receive that thought. No, that comes from you. I'm with, nope, if Apostle said there's a purpose for it, there's a reason for it. And that's part of God's plan, I'm with it. See, but when you get that little resistant feeling, you got to check that. See, that's anti-God, anti-the will of God. And see, and so you got to make those little corrections. Most people don't want to admit to it, but we all got some little correction we got to make. Some might need more than others. You remember we used to listen to the radio before? I'm going back just a few years, and you have to dial. The station a little fuzzy, but you take that little tuner until you get all the static out and put on WYLD. Oh, I didn't mean WYLD. Put on your favorite station. But you mess with it until you got clear, you see? That's what you got to do with your heart sometimes. Sometimes you feel that little resistance come up when the leader says something, and then you feel it. Oh, no, Lord, let me get back into perspective. My thought, that's wrong thought. Cast down imagination. Every high thing is always against the knowledge of God. And bring back into captivity every thought. Bring my thought back to the obedience of Christ. That's to the will of God. You bring yourself back to the will of God. You see it? All you got to know is the will of God, and your obedience ain't no problem. All I need to know, Lord, this is your will, and I'm ready to obey. You see it? But if you don't know the will, if you got a problem with the will of God, then it's going to be hard for you to obey. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. A voice of a stranger, they what? They will not follow a stranger's voice. Are y'all with me so far? Okay, let's move on a little bit to a book called Leviticus. It's two books down. It's not a favorite book. A lot of blood in this book. We're going to talk about Aaron's two sons. Now, notice here, there's a connection here. The reason why I say there's a connection, because, excuse me, Noah dealt with his son, flesh son, we're talking about, flesh son. That's why children got to have a connection with their fathers. You see? You can't have your children crazy. No, if anybody with you, your children got to be with you. So, and now we're going with Aaron's two sons. Somewhere down the line, they didn't have a proper connection. Aaron's two sons didn't have a proper connection. And let's read it right quick, because I want to bring out a couple pointers there, because it's very important that we see what's going on here. Leviticus 10, begin at verse 1. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his incense, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. That's a very serious matter that just happened. What happened here is Aaron and his sons worked together in the priesthood. And so in the priesthood, that's what the family did. They offered sacrifice under the direction of Aaron, under the direction of God. God ordered Aaron to do what he did. And his two sons were supposed to serve under him and only do what he say do. But for some reason, Aaron made it look so easy. You see it? And sometimes people get up in this pulpit and sometimes they don't know the price apostle paid. The blood that he shared, the hours. And so you can't get up and do nothing stupid. No, indeed. Because what I'm trying to say is that some things look easy and some things look good, but every good thing is not a God thing. And sometimes people doing a lot of things that God never ordered them to do in the church. They want to start their little ministry within the ministry. And sometimes the pastor don't know nothing about it. This is my ministry. I got my ministry. No. You know what the Lord told me one time? Not just one time, more than once. He said, you don't have a ministry. I said, whoa, Lord, what are you saying? He said, your job is to serve this man. See, everybody ain't called to pastor or evangelize. Or sometimes we're called to help our spiritual leader. And we get stuck on my ministry. When you get stuck on your ministry, you get in error. I told a man one time, well, he believed he was a pastor. And I believe he was a pastor. And he got itchy. You know, when I say itchy, anxious. And the Lord gave me a word to tell him. The Lord told me to tell him, long preparation, long ministry. In other words, sit, listen, and obey. And God got his timing set for you. But no, he got anxious. He got anxious, wanted to do his own thing. You know what happened? He ended up dying ahead of time. Yep, sure did. But my point is that sometimes people don't want to settle down and just assist and serve. One man said, just when you get people trained up enough to be of an assistant or help to you, they want to go start their own thing. People do it in business every day. They'll stay on the job with a man for 5, 6, 7 years until they learn his trade, learn how you do it, and then they'll pack up and go start their own little shop. Yes, sir. He didn't invest all his, he invests a lot into you. Sometimes his own personal goods into you, thinking he didn't find a man after God's own heart. And then, no, he got his own, he came there with his own agenda. So sometimes people come with their own agenda. They hide them for a little while. They hide their little agenda for a little while. But in the back of their mind, my ministry. And they're trying to jumpstart their ministry in another man's ministry. Well, Nadab and Abihu, it called them their life. Aaron offered sacrifice, but the Bible says they offered sacrifice that God didn't command them to, that God never ordered. So whenever you do something God didn't order, God called it strange fire. God said, I didn't design that. God said, what that is, I don't recognize that. Strange fire, that's what it is. And it gets you in trouble. Sometimes it costs you your life. And not your physical life, your family. It might tear your family up. He don't want, God don't tear families up. I don't see how people get in ministry and they end up getting divorced. The wife running one way and the husband running one way, but instead they're doing the will of God. No, they got some strange fire in there somewhere. Somebody doing something God ain't told them. You know how much work they got to do in ministry? Ministry, know how we spell it here on staff? W-O-R-K. We spell ministry work because we always got something to do here. And and our job is to make apostle look good. Yeah, to make him look good. And so when people get the understanding, if you want to call yourself with a ministry, my ministry is to serve my spiritual leader. Now, if God wants something different, he's going to tell my apostle. He's going to tell my pastor. And he's going to push me out of the eagle nest. I ain't pushing myself out. He's going to push me out. You understand what I'm saying? Some people trying to push themselves out ahead of time. If one of them little eagles get pushed out of the nest ahead of time, they're always on a cliff, you know. That's a long cliff. That's a long drop. If you ain't learned to flap them wing yet and ahead of time, you might not make it. I don't get pushed out of the nest ahead of time. But the whole point is that there, sometimes Nadab and Abihu couldn't recognize that long as they was under Aaron's instruction, direction, they was in safety. They got some money in, and they got out of the will of God. You see it? You better recognize the will of God. If you ain't sure in the will of God, you better find somebody that might be speaking to your life. You know? Because God won't keep you in safety. God wants you in long ministry. You see it? You see it? Paul says something about Timothy. He said, how he had never found nobody with the heart of Timothy. He said, everybody wanted their own. And nobody after the things of God. But he found Timothy. Said Timothy, he don't want his own stuff. And so that's why he fell in love with Timothy, because Timothy had his heart, you see. Now, let's look at the last one now. The last one is going to be Miriam and Aaron. That's in the 12th chapter of Numbers. Are we getting anything? All right, 12th chapter of Numbers. This one here. See, we're dealing with family again. You see, you can't let your family control you when it comes to spiritual things. There's a demarcation, there's a line drawn when it comes to family and serving God. Family and serving God. You see it? And so let's look at what happened here. 12th chapter, first verse. And Miriam and Aaron spake. See that word against? That's a rebellious word. Let me give you the definition of rebellion while I'm thinking about it. The definition of rebellion is resistance or refusal to yield to spiritual government or rule. Resistance, and that resistance I'm telling you about is that little, it's not an outwardly resistance, it's an inwardly resistance. It's that little thing just rubbing you kind of wrong on the inside. That's all God needs. You ever had somebody do something for you and their heart wasn't in it? I don't like it. I don't want anybody to do nothing. Just like for instance, if my wife, I say, you gonna serve dinner tonight? Yeah, I'm gonna serve dinner. She served it, but you just took the plate and just slung it at me. She served me all right, but the heart wasn't in it. How do you do that, for example? My wife don't sling plates at me. I just want you to know. But I did that. I say that because when a person's heart ain't right, an apostle or a spiritual leader, they can pick it up. Don't you think you're fooling them? Don't you think that they don't know when your heart ain't right? Don't you think a guy could kind of don't go off on the inside of them when their heart ain't right? Don't you think God will call them and don't give them spiritual discernment? They don't know when that person, Peter, looked back and said, your heart is not right in this matter. He had spiritual discernment. He knew something wasn't right with his man. So pastors and spiritual leaders, they know their flock. And they know when they're saying yes, but they mean no. You coming to help tomorrow? Yeah, I'm coming. But no written all across their faith. No, I'm not. I don't want to come, and I wish you never would have asked me to come. But I'm coming because I don't want to be out of order. Well, you're already out of order because your heart ain't right. So cause when you come tomorrow, I really don't want you there because you're going to put that old spirit on everybody else. That old don't want to be that spirit. You ever work with a person don't want to be there or don't want to do what you're doing? That's a stinking spirit. It's it's contagious. It get all over you. I'm telling you, I don't like work with somebody that don't want to be there. Ready to be somewhere else. I could be in my house. Well, go to your house. Because it's a vexation to your righteous soul. So what's happening here is now Miriam, they came against Moses here. Watch this. They spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. It wasn't none of Miriam's business who Moses had married. You see, they got the family connection mixed up with spiritual connection. See, she crossed over into God's business. She don't know what God told Moses to do. And she started putting her business in a danger zone. You gotta be careful what you say. You gotta be careful that you don't find yourself fighting against God. Spiritual leader, when you get around spiritually, you just better keep your mouth shut if you don't know the will of God concerning them. Don't you judge them. Don't ever judge them, because you end up judging, you fighting against God. And you got to watch your thoughts. You better do something with your thoughts, because these crazy thoughts come, and if you don't do nothing with them, they're going to get you way further out than you can't come back. And that what happened to people. They get out of there so far in rebellion, messing around with other rebellious folks. That a lot of people left it. I just told them, some people leave churches, want to come back, don't know how to come back. Because they didn't say too much. They run their mouth too much, and they don't know how to come back. Because they can't repent. They're too proud to repent. And what happened is, they didn't got themselves in the danger zone. How do you prevent that? Keep your mouth shut. Mind your own business. Let God take care of what God take care of. Pray and obey. You see? All you do is obedience. Samuel, God told Samuel, obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. And that's what some people do. They'd rather sacrifice instead of obeying. Because sometimes it's easier to sacrifice. You see? You know, come volunteer. I give my tithes as my servant. I serve with my money, my tithes. Yeah, that's all right, but we need you too. You understand what I'm saying? Now watch this. So, and they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. The Bible said the Lord heard it. I want you to know, rebellious words ascend directly into heaven. And they're heard by God. That's something, huh? The demons don't even try to stop those words. You know how you make those fake confessions? And Satan trying to stop your fake confession from getting to heaven? When you say something rebellious, the devil says, every demon, get back. I want God to hear these words. God's good Christian. I want God to hear what his good Christians are saying. That's something, huh? Good Christians saying crazy stuff. Well, they say that they call themselves good Christians, but how can you be a good Christian letting all kind of obscenity come out? I'm not talking a curse word, no. I'm talking a rebellious word. I call that obscenity come out of your mouth. That word than cursing. When you say a rebellious word. So Miriam didn't think she said anything wrong. Now she's standing up and right. She thinks she's right. It's something when you're wrong and you think you're right. That's what rebellion. You're wrong and you think you're right. You're wrong, but you think you're right. That's a hard thing to break up. You see, a lot of married people, the biggest argument is that they don't want to admit they're wrong because they think they're right. Sometimes you got to add it up and say, I'm wrong. Can you forgive me? No, but Miriam is the same Miriam that put Moses in this little basket. You remember? She put Miriam in this little basket. When God was delivered, when the babies were being slain. So she was the oldest, older than Moses. So because I'm older, that means I got a right to say something to you. You better listen to me, boy. I'll change your diapers. But spiritual things don't work like that. No. See, no. You're talking about a different category now. You're talking about somebody that connected with God. My goodness. So Miriam didn't realize she was coming against God there. You see, the Bible said the Lord heard it. That got God's attention. And the Bible said God came out the Holy of Holies and God came to the door of the tabernacle. My goodness, he came to the door. Come out, ye three. Miriam saying to herself, all right, now we're going to find out that boy. See, Miriam prophesied. She was a prophetess, too. So because she had a little calling on her life, she thought, but God had chosen Moses. You see, one thing to prophesy, but it's another thing when you're chosen. Stay in your land. And so she had problem with Moses. And so she thought you were right. And God reprimanded her right there on the spot. I'm paraphrasing a little bit because of time. God reprimanded her, and then God said, you know, Moses cried out before the Lord. See, that's a sign of true authority. True authority, always going to fall on their face before God. True authority ain't going to be happy that you fall. true authority ain't gonna happen. Okay, God gonna get you. No, true authority, true authority, I still try to stay in the gap. When God was destroying me in the 16th chapter of Numbers, the ground began to split open because they came against Moses. And they told Moses, you take too much upon you. You're not the only one holy. We're talking about Dathan, the boys in the 16th chapter, that they held a council against Moses and said Moses was doing too much on his own. And they're saying Moses didn't have a right to make all these decisions. And so they, now they're coming, they got all these groups. They got these 250 men together. They were supposed to be the chief men of the organization and everything. And they were coming against Moses. And so Moses, Lord, I've not said anything on my own accord. I've not done anything you didn't tell me to do. That's what you're telling the people. That was his defense. So what I'm saying is, Moses, everything Moses did, what God told him. And sometimes people got trouble with God telling you. They can't go there sometimes. Sometimes they don't understand how you raise a rod and a Red Sea will open up. They don't understand when God is behind a man of God, how supernatural things happen. You see, they couldn't go there. The average people can't, church people can't go there. And they're the rebellious one, the average church people. They don't want to complain and murmur and have problems. Don't be average. That's all I'm saying. Don't be average. I refuse to be average. My apostle is kicking us up to another level, and I'm going right there with him. I'm not going to be average. You see, we move into the supernatural, and I want to be right there behind him. I don't want to be average. When a revelation come, it won't take me 6 hours to try to get a revelation. I want, when it come out of his mouth, I see it, Lord. I see it. Some people still struggling with revelation. Why? Because they ain't keeping up. You got to keep up. You know what it is to keep up? The more folks say, better to keep up than to catch up. You keep up. He give you a scripture, you go home and study it. He give you a revelation, you go home and ponder it. And so when you spend time with what he's spending time with, you see, so like we're praying right now, he got the whole church praying. Well, we're on a prayer. We're on a, how would you call that? Accountability praying. We're accountable to our apostle and to our spiritual leaders. And what happened is now when you stay prayed up, it keep your spirit charged up. And so it keep your mind settled down. And you don't have all this background noise from the enemy trying to tell you something different. I tell you what, prayer go good with revelation. Just like ice cream and cake. It go good together. You know, I don't like cake without ice cream. So sometimes when you're praying, when a revelation comes, you sop it up. Because you're right there on the edge of it. It's so easy to receive. Some people got trouble receiving because they I almost want to use the word spiritually left behind. You don't want to get spiritually left behind. What did he say? Do what? I remember Pastor told her when they were about to buy some air conditioning and they hadn't had the revelation. Lord, this man will spend thousands of dollars. Because he won't put a new air conditioning system in the church down the street. They couldn't conceive. They'd been with them little fans so long, they couldn't conceive the whole church having air conditioning on one unit. You with me? And so sometimes, that's why he wants all the church brought up together. You see, you know, sometimes you think new people got trouble catching up. New people right there with you. Right. You think you got to go back and bring them up to speed. These people ready to go. It's the people that get comfortable and want to hold on till they hold on. You know what I'm talking about? Some people want to hold on till they hold on. They want to hold on to their religion. I'm going to hold on to it. They try to get that old scripture, but the old landmark, hold on to the old landmark. You're going to get stuck leaving with the hold on to the old landmark. Revelation is progressive. Yeah. And like Paul said, revelation just keep on coming. Yeah. The preceding word. Right. That was the apostle getting us to the preceding. The revelation connects to the revelation. I'm telling you, I'm telling you. Now, let's finish this, and I'm about to close. I got 4 more minutes left. Now, when Miriam opened her mouth to slander, she touched upon the work of God, challenging the position of Moses. That was Miriam did. And she didn't realize it, but she was really challenging his position. So when a person get in rebellion and want to have their own way, they're really challenging the position of the spiritual leader. You see? I don't think you have a right to do that. That's a challenge. God don't smile too good on that. God take that personal. See, we've got so comfortable being in rebellion. I don't say we, because we obviously everybody here not in rebellion. But some people have got so comfortable in rebellion, it's a norm for them. They used to sin so much, it's a norm for them. So they don't think about repercussions. Oh, but when their body gets sick and they don't know what to do, they don't realize it could have been something they said. You see? Could have been something they never corrected. A man spoke against the apostle. The man came, had repented. Said, look, everything going wrong. I put my mouth on you. Everything going wrong. Can you forgive me? The man had to get himself clear. They don't realize when things ain't going their way, it might be something they said. Might be some old crazy idea somebody put in their head and they ran for it. Might see, because people throw a little, I like the fish. And sometimes the fish don't bite the first time you throw the bait out of them. But I keep messing with them. And finally they take it. And sometimes they allow people to keep throwing these little bait, Satan throw these little bait, and then it keeps sounding better and better and better and better. And then they'll take it and get hooked on it. And then before you know it, they got this little rebellious thought that got stuck in their brain and you can't get it out. They'd rather believe what they heard than the truth. Satan uses it like a bait, an artificial bait. You see? And you throw it at you and hoping you bite. And so, how do I stay out of rebellion? How do I walk into obedience? You know how you do it? Keep your mouth shut, number one, and don't let anybody put nothing in your ear that's not of God. Don't let anybody say anything about your spiritual leader. If they got something to say, look, hold that. Hold that. Don't bring that here. Hold that thought. Don't let them get it out of their mouth. Hold it. Yeah, but pastor, hold it. I don't want to hear it. See, whatever you hear, you got to deal with. Especially what source you come from. Well, let me tell you what I heard. I don't want to hear it. Keep it to yourself. You might turn a cold shoulder on you, but that's all right. You're keeping your heart right. All right? So because rebellion is a dangerous thing, because the thing is, you're not coming against men. You're coming against God Almighty. And that's what's so particular about this thing. All right, class? That's all I got for you. Amen. Class dismissed.